Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning to you. We have, of course, been speaking quite extensively about Jacob Zuma's health. Not that we care about how he's actually doing, but we do want him to live long enough to stand a trial and see justice. Well, that's my view, not necessarily yours. But Jacob Zuma's military doctors last week handed in a confidential medical report about his fitness to stand trial for the arms deal-related corruption. While his lawyers had agreed to a court order that the state could appoint its own doctors to examine him, his foundation now insists that that is unnecessary. Zuma is due back in court on September the 9th when his lawyers will confirm whether they will or will not seek a longer postponement of his trial. Well, I mean, this is just out of the Jacob Zuma handbook, isn't it? Joining us this morning, John Paul Rudd, attorney and partner at Adams and Adams. A very good morning to you. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. Thanks for having me on your show.
So we obviously need to balance this whole medical confidentiality business, and we have spoken about this, but this is just the same circle and the same game and dance that is danced over and over again, isn't it?
Very much so, Howard. I think it's 100% in line with a Stalingrad tactic that we've seen from Zuma over the years, and this is no different. Obviously, he does have a right, certain constitutional rights, which include a right to bodily integrity, etc., etc. But no right is 100% absolute. Rights can be limited in terms of the Constitution, and the court would have to look at the public interest and weigh up the rights of Zuma to bodily integrity, etc., versus the public interest and the public right of pursuing justice in this trial. So, yes, he does have certain rights, but those rights can definitely be limited as well.
So his team agrees to it. Then the foundation says, no, well, it's unnecessary. We don't really know what was in that report, and that is obviously being kept from the public. It's just... It's so disheartening, really, isn't it?
Yes, so it seems like they've reneged on the agreement to undergo assessment by the NPA's medical practitioners. So obviously this is going to come back before the presiding judge, Judge Kuhn, and Judge Kuhn would have to consider any objection from the Zuma camp and obviously also hear the state, the NPA, a side as to why it is crucial for him to be submitted to medical practitioners on their side. And this is nothing new in criminal trials. I mean, we saw it with the Oscar Pistorius trial. He was submitted to state medical practitioners. We've seen it over the years and years in trials like this. So to say that you're going to refuse to submit yourself to NPA medical practitioner, I think is nonsensical. I don't think the judge will tolerate it. My feeling is the judge will order him to undergo that assessment. And, you know, he can be reasonably forced to undergo an assessment if he refuses.
Do we have any real sense of how he is or what the real story is?
At this stage, we don't know because it's confidential. It's been handed into court. So the only parties that do know at this stage is the judge himself, the NPA, and obviously Zuma's lawyers. So that report is being kept confidential. It might very well be disclosed to the public later on if Judge Pitkin rules on that and decides that it's in the public interest to disclose it. But at this stage, you know, we're in the dark as to what the exact medical condition is.
How is it possible that he has so many tricks up his sleeve? A normal criminal or a normal person facing criminal charges can't, I would imagine, would be unable to play this game for as long as Zuma's played it. Surely at some point his legal counsel becomes culpable in this behavior and in the thwarting of justice?
So look, in Zuma's case, obviously he's got financial backing. In a normal person's case, they do not have the financial muscle to push a case out like this, request postponement after postponement, and really follow a Stalingrad tactic. In his case, it's obviously different, and he's had the financial muscle to do so. With respect to his legal counsel, they obviously owe a duty towards the court, and this is a very sacred duty that they do have towards the court, because they are officers of the court. So they cannot, under any circumstances, mislead a court in any sort of way. So it would really be up to the judge himself if he feels that they are a party to unsavory tactics to refer them to the LPC for investigation. That's now the regulatory body of legal practitioners.
If they give him, well, not give him advice, but if they, for example, submit a medical report that they know might not be accurate, can they be held liable, his legal team?
Look, so it all goes about what they do know, and whether you can prove, obviously, that they are aware say for instance it's a fraudulent a medical report. Mm. If they are privy to it and they submit it to court, they could definitely fall foul of their obligation towards the court and obviously the obligation towards the rules of the Legal Practice Council. So they can be held liable, but it all goes about what they know. Mm. and whether you can prove that they are aware of any unsavory circumstances.
What fascinates me is that everybody, of course, has the right to a defense, a lawyer, somebody to stand up for them. And it's often debated about defending somebody who is a criminal who has committed a heinous crime. But surely, again, as you said right in the beginning, not all rights aren't completely unlimited. And if the client is not prepared to act with integrity through the system, never mind the actual act of the crime that he's been accused of, if he is not prepared to act with integrity and that can cause an impact on the attorney, then surely they should or would step away from
it. Yes, so attorneys are obliged to withdraw from a case if they have provided their client with advice and the client, for whatever reason, does not agree with the advice, because then there's a conflict of interest and they shouldn't go on defending someone if this person is not following the advice they are providing him with. Because at this stage, we don't know who is causing the delay. Obviously, there's a very apparent delay, and we all suspect where that may be originating from. But at this stage, we don't know what sort of advice the attorneys are providing, and whether that's been followed or not. But I suspect at some or other stage we might see that the judge takes a very stronger and more authoritative view of this in view of the fact that he has been quite liberal in respect of granting postponements. And given the history of this matter, the years and years of waiting for him to actually appear in court. So I don't think it's going to be very long before we see Judge Pitkun taking a much stronger and more authoritative approach to the matter.
We can only hope. That's where we leave it. Jean-Paul Rudd, attorney and partner at Adams & Adams, talking to us about the Jacob Zuma situation.